Mr. Munderloh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
This is the case of In Re Adoption of Yasmin S., and I don't believe we have an appellee in this case. So we will begin by introduction of members of the court. I am Mike Hevekin, the Chief Justice, and now by seniority as to service on the court. The other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
Good morning. William Castle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am Jeff Funk.
Good morning.
Jonathan Papik.
And John Cunningberg.
Mr. Munderloh, again, good morning to you. Do you have any questions before we begin?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Then you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Matt Munderloh. I represent the appellants Kelly Hoagland and Maria Salas Valdez. My co-counsel are Adam Sipple and Sarah Ripps of the Nebraska ACLU. I will be handling today's argument. This is an adoption case from Dickson County. The appellants filed a petition as wife and wife to adopt a three-year-old minor child. They properly filed all of the required relinquishments and consents. They did the home study. They completed all of the background checks, the abuse registry checks. They complied with everything that the statutes require them to comply with. The county court, nonetheless, prevented them from proceeding because they are a same-sex married couple. The county court interpreted section 43-101 to prevent a same-sex married couple like the appellants from adopting this minor child. There's no dispute that appellants were married in California in 2008. But the county court has interpreted the term wife in 43-101 using a dictionary definition that requires a wife to be married to a man or have a husband. We think, even without consulting dictionary definitions, that the plain language of 43-101 permits the adoption to proceed. Even if the plain language doesn't permit the adoption, the Constitution and Obergefell versus Hodges and its progeny require an interpretation that would permit the adoption to proceed. In our brief,
I beg your pardon, is there anything about Fulton versus City of Philadelphia, which I think is still pending at the U.S. Supreme Court, that might inform our analysis? Or would that be limited to constitutional issues, whereas, as I understand it, your initial argument is plain language, court read it wrong, wouldn't have to go to constitutional? Is that your argument?
That's correct. That's the hierarchy of the argument, that we don't need to get to the constitutional principles in play because we believe that the plain language of the statute already permits the adoption to proceed. But in the event that the plain language doesn't permit it, then the alternative argument is that the Constitution requires it, and the Obergefell case and the cases to follow require it. So in our brief, we've cited dictionary definitions of wife that simply mean a married woman or a woman with a spouse. Clearly that's met in this circumstance. If we were to adopt the county court definition of wife, I think what we would end up with is a result that is not sensible and not harmonious, because it would treat opposite sex married individuals differently than same sex married individuals. So the statute permits any adult or adult persons to adopt. It does not require individuals to be married to adopt. What it does require is that when you are married, your spouse or your husband or wife need to join in the petition. So if we adopt the county court's definition, the argument could be made that there just is no wife in this circumstance, even though appellants clearly are married. In other words, if we define wife to require a woman be married to a man or have a husband, then simply we don't have a wife in this circumstance. And so I suppose that then under subsection one of the statute, the appellants wouldn't need to join in the petition to adopt. They could simply adopt as any adult person or persons.
But I beg your pardon, with subsection one, that arguably both parties, both people, both persons need to join, right? And under subsection one, the language of is a person having a husband or a wife. Does
correct.
That characterize each of these ladies? They are, well, is each a person with a wife?
If we adopt the county court's interpretation and definition of what a wife is, I don't believe that we would have a wife in this circumstance at all. Neither appellant would be a wife because they wouldn't meet the county court's definition. And if they don't meet the county court's definition, then alternatively, I suppose they could file a petition to adopt not as wife and wife, but just as an adult person who are joining together, or one of them could just adopt as any person under the beginning language of the statute. However, for a opposite sex married couple, if we adopt the county court's definition, then the husband and wife or spouses would need to join. And so if we adopt that county court's interpretation, then it's not a harmonious or sensible result because it treats opposite sex married individuals differently than same sex married individuals. We would have a scheme where opposite sex married couples would need to join, but same sex married couples arguably would not because we don't have wives. And they could ask to adopt as simply adult persons, and only one of them possibly could do so because the statute permits any person to adopt, whether they're married or not. And so the more sensible interpretation is to treat them similarly and define wife simply as a married woman or a woman with a spouse, because we don't then run into a situation where we're interpreting the statute one way for opposite sex married couples who must join together, and another way for same sex married individuals who, under the county court's interpretation, probably don't need to join.
Counsel, in this particular case, we are not presented, are we, with the situation where the other person in a same-sex marriage fails to join in the petition. In other words, in your preferred interpretation, both spouses have joined in the petition. But even under the county court's definitions, both persons required to join have joined, haven't they?
Under our interpretation, certainly. Under the county court's interpretation, I'm not sure because the county court, I don't believe, really addressed that issue of whether they both needed to join or one could simply file the petition or they could file together as any adult persons, not as wife and wife. Simply in their petition, they alleged that they were wife and wife. The county court used the definition that it decided to use and decided that neither of them was a wife and went no further with its analysis.
Thank you.
I apologize, Mr. Munderlo. So in this case, they applied together, or one of them applied with the permission of the other, or does that make any difference?
In this case, Your Honor, I don't believe it makes any difference, but they did join in the petition as wife and wife. They're married. As they read the statute, they were required to do that. And the court basically said that neither one of them is a wife, though there's no dispute about that because they were legally married in California in 2008.
But they are both aspirants, right?
I'm sorry, Justice Counsel.
They were both applicants. They both
Correct.
Joined in the petition.
Correct. They both joined in the petition.
And under one, this is about who must join, and both have joined. Is that correct?
That's correct. Our Counsel. Argument is that they must join because they're spouses. And the way to read the statute is that no person having a husband or wife may adopt minor child unless the husband or wife joins in the petition therefore. So in this circumstance, each of them has a wife. Kelly Hoagland has a wife. Maria Salas Valdez has a wife. And so they joined in the petition.
The statute refers to any person. Would it have been possible for one party in the marriage have applied and then simply somehow indicate to the court that the other party, be it husband or wife, gives permission for the adoption?
So it's not known whether that's possible. If it is possible, then that gets us to a two-track statutory scheme where we're ignoring the marriage in this circumstance, which everyone agrees occurred, even the county court, and we're adopting one standard for same-sex married couples who don't need to join in the petition if we adopt the county court's interpretation, but we're requiring opposite sex married couples, husband and wife, to join in the petition. That's the result if we adopt the county court's interpretation.
Council, has the legislature defined either husband or wife anywhere in the statutes in a way that constrains our analysis in any respect?
No, Justice Stacey, that there is no definition in the adoption statutory framework that defines husband or wife or spouse.
Or the Parenting Act or any of that?
No. No, Your Honor, not that I'm aware of in the Parenting Plan or Parenting Act either. And so there's, in that sense, there's just simply no guidance from the legislature on what its intent may or may not have been. The plain language permits this adoption to proceed. And the Constitution requires it. So the county court read Obergefell and its line of cases too narrowly. Obergefell is not just a case about marriage, but marriage and all of its incidental benefits. And same-sex married couples are to be treated exactly similarly as opposite-sex married couples. And there's no question that this adoption would have proceeded had there been a husband and wife or man and woman who joined in this petition. and Obergefell.
What specifically, Mr. Munderloh, would you like this court ultimately to do, assuming that we would side with you?
Your Honor, what we're asking for is an interpretation of the statute that permits a wife and wife to proceed with an adoption and a reversal and remand to the county court to permit the adoption to proceed on the exact same terms as it would proceed if there were a man and woman as a married couple asking to adopt.
Do you want us to remand? Oh, I think it's right. Do you want us to remand to the same judge?
We would ask that the remand be to a different county judge, Your Honor.
I beg your pardon, and I beg your pardon. I am a little bit over your time, but as I hear your argument, your preference is sticking with the language of the statute. Sub 1 requires both spouses to join, and they have done that. Is that it?
Correct. That in this circumstance, we have a wife and wife who has joined in the petition, and the statute permits that. This clearly is not a statute like in Mississippi, which is cited in our brief, that was determined to be unconstitutional by a federal court that expressly prohibited a same-sex married couple from adopting. We don't have that circumstance here. We have a very generic, neutral statute that simply requires a spouse to join with another spouse. And there may be a number of combinations. It may be husband and wife. It may be husband and husband. It may be wife and wife who join. The way our statute reads, either of those options or all of the above is permitted.
Counsel, just so that we're clear, neither applicant is a biological parent. Is that correct?
That's correct. Neither is. That's correct.
So if one were a biological parent, both spouses would not have to apply. Is that correct? If one's the biological parent and the other one wants to adopt that child under the statute, would both parents have to apply?
I don't believe so. Justice Falk, I don't believe so.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munderloh. You have no time for rebuttal. There is nothing, no one to rebut.
Thank you.
And that concludes arguments on this case and arguments for the day. So, Mr. Munderloh, you are excused.